Greetings in Jesus' name. Good afternoon. Schedule just keeps going, doesn't it? Amen. But we're here. I said to several this morning, some of us were standing in the back as you were gathering there for your first sessions, and then again as you gathered up here to sing, and it never ceases to amaze me as I look and see all of your faces that there would be so many, hundreds of you, I guess over 500, that you have chosen to be here today, this week, with us. And we do not count that as a light thing or a little thing. We take that very seriously. And God bless you for being here. God bless you. And I know He will, and I know He's going to give you grace this week to do what you need to do, to make the choices you need to make. Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer as we begin this session? Our Heavenly Father, our great and eternal God that loves us with an everlasting love, thank You, God. Thank You for Jesus. Yes, God, help us right now, today, this minute, with Your grace. Fill us with Your Spirit. Unlock our minds and our hearts to the things of the Gospel and the Bible. Help us, Lord. Teach us and guide us. Give us hungry hearts and tender hearts for the things of God this day, right now. Thank You, God. Thank You for each one that is here. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you could see from your programs you got there, the title of this session this week is Youth at the Crossroads. Youth at the Crossroads. And you can see this little scene here that we've thrown up on the whiteboard here, the white screen. And you can just picture the scene here of these young people walking down this road, and then it goes off in two different directions. And that's a crossroads. And crossroads come in different shapes and different sizes. Sometimes there's two choices. Sometimes there's three. We even have several around here in Lancaster County with five of them. Well, there's even a place called Five Pointville. Five choices at a crossroad. And life is sometimes that way, isn't it? A crossroads. And this week, we're going to talk about different specific crossroads that come into the life of every young person, it seems. There's some things that you cannot escape. Some things that you cannot avoid. Some things that you're going to be faced with. And you'll need to make a choice. You'll say yes to some things and no to some things. And that choice you make will lead you down a road, just like these roads here. They're going to take you somewhere. You don't just stand there. You're going somewhere. There's a course that your life is going to take. And the choices that you make now at these crossroads will to a great degree determine where you go the rest of your life. And sometimes the choices you make are ones that are very difficult to undo if they've been a wrong one. Crossroads. So picture yourself. Picture you. Not the group. Not everyone else here. It's easy to just sort of blend in as we're here together. But I want you to picture you, your name, who you are, where you're at, your particular situation at these crossroads. Picture yourself at these crossroads. And you are at that great and wonderful time that we call youth. So many different crossroads are going to come. But what will you do with them? And I just want to encourage you, as you think about some of these things we're going to be talking about this week, that there are many here that are praying for you as you face these crossroads, many that love you, many that have a great concern for your soul and for where you need to go, where God desires to take you. And I can say that I'm in that crowd, or I'm in that group that cares. As a father, I have six young people that live in my home that are Bible school students here. I'm have the blessed joy of being pastor to think it's between 60 and 70 of you that are here from the church here at Effort Christian Fellowship. Many of the rest of you I know. And so I have a deep concern for you as you approach these crossroads. What will you do? God has so allowed it in His providence and His way of doing things that you have a will, an ability to choose, an ability to make a choice. And isn't it a sobering thought that of all of God's creation, only man has the ability, it seems, to say yes or no to God. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? The martyrs that we read about in Christian history have proved, without a doubt, that a man or a woman can be tortured, they can even be burned at the stake, they can even have a gun put to their head, as we thought about this morning, and still say yes to God. The fear did not stop them. If they have a heart to serve God with all their heart, they're at that crossroads, and what a divine crossroad that is. But to say yes. Unfortunately, you can choose the wrong at certain crossroads in your life and say no to God. But remember this today, dear young people. Remember this. No power on earth or under the earth can make you do wrong without your consent. It's not possible. It's not possible. The world will fool you and think, well, it's the circumstances. It's the way I was brought up. I couldn't help it, and on and on and on. That's not right. God has given you a will and an ability to choose at these crossroads that you will encounter in life. And you will find, as you go through life, that yes and no are the two most important words you can say. And upon your yeses and your noes will hang your eternal destiny. Upon your yeses and your noes will hang your eternal destiny. What will you say to God this week? You will hear many things, not just in this session, but as you sit under the Word of God coming your way, there's something about the sifting of the Word of God in the human heart that is like nothing else on the face of this planet. Because it's not like anything on the face of this planet, it's supernatural. Because it is the revealed mind and will and heart of God given to us and then backed by the Spirit of God to open your heart up and sift it and unlock those things that you've tucked away and put away. That's what the Word of God is going to do this week. I trust that by faith to your heart this week. What will you choose? What will happen to you? Some of you will have choices this week. Some of you will even have that crossroad of salvation. Some that sit here under the sound of my voice are probably not born again. With a crowd this size, you will face that crossroad of salvation as God is speaking to you. Some will face others. Maybe there's something in your life that's a difficulty that you don't know what to do with. Other things may be choices you're making in your life and other outward things, but that reveal an inner heart condition. It may be your music. It may be your clothing. It may be your relationship with your parents or your church authority. It may be what you're doing as a career. It may be choices about money. Courtship. Dating. Marriage. All of these things are crossroads. What will you choose? You're at the crossroads. And your decisions that you make at these crossroads, young people, will affect whether you choose a path away from God and holiness and godly living, or whether you try so-called nominal Christianity, or a sold-out, holy, on fire Christian life that can be used as a tool in the kingdom of God. God is about building His kingdom. Jesus has said it. It is true. I will build my church. It will be done. It is not maybe. It will happen. Jesus is the head of the church, and what He says will happen. He is building His church. That is not the question. The question is, will you be part of that building process? Will you be a tool fit for the Master's use in the kingdom of God? And I tell you, your yeses and your noes at the crossroad will determine whether or not that is so in your life. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. And you will face many crossroads in your life over the years and months ahead, not just those this week. We will not be able to go over all of those things, certainly, but we will go over certain ones that we can get through this week. By God's grace, He will help us do this. So the first crossroad that I want to look at this afternoon involves relationships. Relationships, particularly those relationships that are very close to most of you, and that is your relationship to your parents or godly authority. I know that some of you in this room, in fact, a larger number than sometimes we have sitting in this room, are not living at home. Some of you for the cause of the gospel. And God bless you. I know some of you are sitting here and that's not where you may want to be, but you made a choice because you decided to obey God and the call upon your life that He made. And yet I would say to you that these principles that we're going to look at today apply just as much to you, and may I say even more so in some ways, because you desperately are in need of godly authority and godly oversight in your life. Because without it, you will stumble and fall many times when it didn't need to be that way. And that is not God's heart for you to stumble and fall and stumble and fall. He loves you. He is for you. And so I would encourage those of you that are in that situation where maybe you're not at home, put yourself under some godly authority. Make room for yourself somewhere. Don't just say, well, it's not going to work out. Make it work out. Make it a matter of priority. Make it a matter of utmost priority. It might be easy to just get an apartment or do this, or I don't know what some of you are doing, and I don't know all of your situations, and don't think I'm not being understanding. I am. But there is an urgency that at this time in your life, you need what God wants for you, because these principles are true, and God has put them in His Word, not as a suggestion, but as a command, but also because He loves you and He cares about the direction of your life. So when I say the word or phrase today, parents, please just go ahead and insert for me godly authority wherever you're living, and some of you again are living in different places. Well, we are not alone. You are not alone on this planet. God has made it so that we live with others. We live in a world full of people. I guess it's over, 6 billion now? And when we think of those numbers, 260 million in America, we get just sort of confused with it all. But God puts us individually in situations, not just in groups, but in homes, in families, in churches, and it's in those relationships that we are close to, that relate to, that God has put us in for a purpose and a reason. To bring some crossroads into our life. To bring some choices into our life. To bring different things into our life. And may I say that within the family unit, one's ability to relate is not only learned, but it's put under its severest test. It's not all easy, is it? There are tests. There are things that we must do, things that we must comply with. Can you go to the next overhead there? I guess I need to move that over. All right, he's going to work with that. We'll go on. You know, you may be respected in your church. You may get along with those, some other young people that you call friends, and so on and so forth. But how is it between you and your parents? How do you get along with them? Are you a godly example in the home? Can you say that your parents put confidence in you? There they are. And, you know, let these questions go into your own heart where you're at. Are you interested in the lives of others in your home? Do you take time to listen to and understand those in your home? Can you say you are considerate to those in your home, especially your parents, even when you do not agree or see their position? And we'll talk more about some of these other things later, but just to stir your mind to thinking, those are some questions that I would trust you would allow the Spirit of God to ask you this morning. And I would say that how you truthfully answer these questions will determine much about your life. You may think, well, these things don't matter. Sometimes it seems like, as I talk to some young people, they like to think, well, it'll be different when I'm not at home anymore. Things will go easier then. It won't be so bad then. I mean, after all, they don't really understand me there. Or my parents are not all they should be. They don't even treat me right. They don't even react right to some of the things I say and do. And may I say carefully, very carefully, you today, dear young person, you're wrong. It won't be different. It won't. It won't be different. The person you really are is how you relate and act toward your parents and your family. The rubber meets the road there. We can act one way with our friends, perhaps, or at church or work, but the person you really are is how you act toward those that God has put in close proximity to your life. Why? Why did God do those things? To bring confusion into your life? No. He knew that in the greenhouse of these close family units, and again, insert those other situations in there that I mentioned earlier, you have the building blocks that you need that, if they take root and grow right, will follow you in a good and godly way the rest of your life. The success you have in life, I believe, starts in the home. I've seen it in young people that are in godly homes, and then as they move on into the kingdom of God, their way is paved with gold. If they've been under authority, if they've related right to their parents, if they've related right to their siblings and all these things, God put them in that home for a reason. And then you watch their life, and it's not an accident. It's not an accident. I believe no other success can compensate for failure in the home. And by failure, please hear me. Again, I realize some of you have difficult situations. By failure, I mean your attitudes in your heart. God sees your heart on the inside. How you really respond in your heart, where your heart is really at. And I understand some of you come from difficult situations. But what is your response? Where is your heart? Do you get angry and frustrated easily? I entreat you to remember, God's grace enables you to rise above those situations that may very well be difficult. He is God. Well, let's look at a few verses now. Turn first to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. We'll just read a few verses here and then pause on the fourth passage that we read for a few minutes. We'll just read these and go on. In Exodus chapter 20, we'll read verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Turn over to the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. And we'll just read the last verse of the Old Testament, verse 6 in chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And over to Ephesians, book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Verse. I think I'll read verse 20 and 21 here. Ephesians 5, 20 and 21. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then over in the very next chapter, we'll read the first three verses there. Starting in verse 1, chapter 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." There are certainly other verses in the Bible and other stories about relationships in the family, but these verses give us a good overview of some of the main principles that I would like to bring to you for your crossroads in relationships today here. These principles, as you notice how they're given out by the Word of God, they're given seemingly almost all of them, both in the Old and the New Testament, they're given as a commandment, not as a good idea, not just a suggestion, but as a commandment. And the question is, what is your response to the situation that God is going to bring into your life? These verses talk about honor, respect, submission, obedience, and your heart. And these are such important things for you to learn that God brings them over to us again and again throughout the Scriptures. Well, we want to look at Ephesians 6 here for a moment. Young people, notice the simple exhortation here. Obey your parents in the Lord. The key to this command is in the three words, "in the Lord." That's the key. That's the door you need to look at. That's the window you need to look through to understand the verse. In the Lord. You are to obey your parents. In other words, for Christ's sake. That's the point that he's trying to make. Not because it's the custom of the nation you live in, but because of Jesus Christ, in the Lord, for Christ's sake. This word "obey" here literally means to stand under. Someone is here, they're over you, you come under them. You stand under them. God uses authority in the lives of you, young people, in me. You will not escape this principle of authority no matter where you go in the Christian world, in the Christian life. You won't escape it out in the world either. You just won't. Authority. And again, my dear young people, you notice the word in here, children, but that doesn't mean it just applies to little children. Whether you're 15, 16, 18, and 23 here today, if you're single and you're living at home, you need this godly authority of parents or godly authority in your life. And we know that all authority is ordained of God. As it says in Romans 13, "For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." So God has ordained powers both in the secular world, in the church, and in the home. And He does these things for a reason. Again, for you, because He loves you and He cares about you. Now, are your parents that are in authority over you, do they do everything right? Do we get this authority as parents? Do they have authority over you because they're smarter or because their name is on the deed to the mortgage or the house you live in? No. They get it simply because God has ordained it and given it to them. God has done these things. Please, for our purposes of looking at this, do not try to make me balance this out with particular situations where parents don't do everything right. I understand those situations exist. But this is the Word of God. What will we do with it? What will we do with it? Go to the next overhead there. We need godly leadership in our life. There's many examples in the Bible of different men and women who allowed themselves to be put under leadership. As we think even of Jesus Christ, at the age of 12, his parents thought he was lost. But actually, he was about his father's business, was his own testimony. But then they found him. And we go through that scene. But at the end of that scene, Jesus does something very interesting. He goes back home with his parents. He's already at a point of understanding of the Bible and the Spirit of God working in his life that he's confounding the wisdom of the teachers of Israel. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verses 51 and 52, that he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject, notice the word I've underlined, subject unto them. This is a testimony of what Jesus did. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. But before he increased with wisdom, stature, and favor in God, look what he did. He made himself subject. You know what the word subject means? He put himself under them. And how old was he till he put himself out of that authority? 30. Now, I'm not putting an age on it. I'm just making a point. Jesus made himself subject. He willingly allowed himself to go under the godly authority, the authority that God had put in his life, in other words. Were Mary and Joseph able to teach him the deep mysteries of the Scriptures? Probably not. Probably not. But the principle is there in the life of Christ, the one we want to follow, the one we want to be like. Did he make a mistake? No. The principle is clear. You can make excuses about your situation, but I would just have you look at Jesus. And I would have you look at authority as a tremendous blessing to be embraced. Use it. Milk it, may I say. Get all you can from it. All you can. I remember a few years ago, we've had several different young ladies living in our home, and one of them had been living there a year or two, and she knew the time left in our home was not very long, and she wrote me a letter, and I got that letter, and I opened it, and I wept when I read it. She understood this principle, and she, in the letter, begged me and my wife, please don't stop having input in my life. I need godly authority. I know that when I go out there, no one's going to have input in my life like you do. People aren't going to come to me and give me correction and give me blessing and give me exhortation and do all these things. You know me. You have my heart. You know what I'm like. You know who I am. Who else can speak to me about these things but you? Please don't stop. I mean, it was just a beseeching. And do you know what that did to my heart? I mean, it just inclines that way. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. And there are many others. We give other testimonies of others who have benefited greatly from placing themselves under, making themselves subject unto them, standing under, down. And some of you may have to go down lower than others. I know that. Some of you may think, you don't know how low I'm going to have to go down, Brother Rick. I'm going to have to go pretty low. I don't know all your situations. But I beg you to think about the principle and see what God has for you. He loves you. He's for you. Well, back to the Scripture here. If we go on, notice after in my Bible here, there's a colon. It says, in the Lord, and then there's a colon. And then it says, for, gives an explanation. In other words, if that isn't enough that God said to do it, He gives you a reason for anything. He's God. But He says, for this is right. And the word right there doesn't just mean the right choice, as in, well, this is wrong and this is right. It means holy. I looked it up. It means just, meet, righteous, holy. This is a spiritual thing. These kind of choices are. Do not take this lightly. I know there's a tendency on our part, especially on the part of some young people, to read verses like this about honoring and obeying and authority, and to let it roll off and think, well, I don't think I really need those things. But this is holy. This is righteous. Jesus Himself, when He was made subject, increased in wisdom, stature, and favor. The word favor there means grace also. Grace. You want grace in your life, young person? Just buckets of grace to pour out of your life, make your way smooth and golden. You get a hold of this principle. It's right. It's not just an appeal to custom. It's not just a traditional thing to do in Christian circles. It is right. It's in accord with a deep-seated spiritual reality. If we could just flip our goggles and flip the switch and see with spirit eyes, we would see this is a deep-seated spiritual reality. This is a good thing, a right thing. Well, now in verses 2 and 3, Paul here in Ephesians, he presses on and brings out another point that we want to consider for a few moments. He says, honor. Honor. Honor thy father and mother. Honor. And the word honor there is an important word because it starts dealing with your heart. Pretty hard to give honor if your heart's not right towards somebody, isn't it? Deals with your attitude, the way you see things, the way you look at things, what you put your faith in. In other words, the attitude of obedience is especially important. You know, it's possible to actually obey or conform with a bad attitude. Have you ever seen that? It is possible, isn't it? But that isn't what God is talking about here. I've seen young people do this, and maybe you've done it. You know, your parents are wanting you to do a certain thing, whatever it is, and just, you know, as they kind of go around the corner, you know, the eyes roll a little bit. Just a little, you know, a little exasperation. Well, you conformed, but did you honor? Did you? In your heart, isn't the heart the seat of who you are? Isn't that what God is interested in? And if God's interested in it, you need to be interested in it. And I know this area of honoring, I would say it's especially important, even for those of you who may be sitting here and say, well, I don't even live with my parents. I've had to move away for the sake of the gospel or whatever. But I would say to you, it's even more important that you honor your parents that do not agree with your stand for Jesus Christ. How can you show them God working in your life if you don't even know how to honor them? So I'm not going to let you have that excuse. I'm not going to let you have that excuse, okay? Because I don't think the Word of God is going to let you have it. It's so important that you do this right, that you get this one right. So it's an attitude. Some of you that are here today, if you remember the picture I had up earlier, that's the crossroads you're at. Some of you here, your attitude towards your father, your mother, your godly authority, it's not right. Some of you sitting in this room, that's one of the crossroads that you're at, that God would speak to you, that God would say to you today, it's not right. It's not right. And I would say to you again, let God, and you may make excuses and say, yeah, but my parents' hearts aren't right. I would just say to you, let God deal with your parents' hearts, your authorities' hearts. Look past them to God. God has put you in this position. God has put you in this place. Act in faith. Act in faith. I know most of you here desire to grow as a Christian. I don't need you to get to raise your hands. But I'm sure if I asked you to raise your hands, almost all of you, if not all of you, would raise your hand. If I were to say, how many of you desire to grow as a Christian? How many of you desire to be further along in your Christian walk, to desire to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? You know, being a disciple of Jesus Christ is not a little thing, is it? Because by definition, it requires that we just keep growing and going on. And going from glory to glory and getting closer to God. And so I know I don't need you to get to raise your hands, but I tell you, I've seen this from my own experience and talking with others. that as long as you are against something or have a wrong attitude towards something, you cannot learn anything from that situation. Isn't that true? As long as you are against something or have a wrong attitude toward it, you cannot learn something from that situation. So if we fight in our spirit and our attitude, we learn nothing. We don't learn the things we should be learning. And so if your attitude is wrong, if your heart is wrong toward your parents or godly authority, you will not learn what God has for you to learn. Therefore, you will not grow and become that disciple of Jesus Christ that I know you want to. And God bless you for those godly desires. God bless you for that. But there are still crossroads that we need to face. We can still have good desires and still have to go through crossroads. Good desires don't mean we don't have crossroads. In fact, God may put a few more in front of you. He may allow that in your life. You know, adults are as much under authority as you are. And if obedience and honoring and submitting and these things that we've read in these verses, if they have not been learned while you're still at the stage in life you're at, most often it seems like too many adults never get it. They never learn. And a shocking truth comes to too many too late, that if you have not learned how to be under authority, you will probably not learn how to be in authority. And yet suddenly you'll be put in that position, you don't have any idea how to do it because you've never been under it. See, you need to stand under so someday you can stand here. And if you're standing here and you don't understand these principles and suddenly you're in this position, you won't have the answers. And you'll make mistakes that will hurt many. That will hurt many. And God help us. God will allow these things in your life. And you know, if you don't have these things understood and working in your life, it'll follow you into the church. You may say, well, Brother Rick, you don't understand my situation at home. It's impossible. And I can't learn anything there. And it's not possible to honor or do any of these things. But you know, these things will follow you into the church. And you'd be surprised how much, may I say, havoc and damage can be caused by just one man or one woman in a church who doesn't know how to honor and submit. It's amazing. It is truly amazing. And you don't want to be one of those that I'm talking about. This issue of authority, submitting, is dealt with throughout all of Scripture, widely. And it's vital to relationships in the home, in the church, in the workplace. You will not get away from it. It is extremely important that we learn to willingly, and I do understand and accept, and I want you to understand, it is your will that is involved. Submission is willingly making a choice, allowing yourself to be persuaded to choose to stand under. Jesus made a choice. He willingly made Himself subject, put Himself under. He made a choice. You're at a crossroads. What choice will you make? Turn over to Genesis chapter 37. I just want to look at another example here. Genesis 37. Just want to look into the life of Joseph for a couple of minutes here. A quick little scene when he was a youth. At this age, he's 17 years old. And sort of a strange little scene is going to happen. But see, it's one of those things that God allowed in his life. And in chapter 37, verse 12, talking about Joseph and his here being Joseph, brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel, who is also Jacob, said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. That's a strange phrase, isn't it? Here am I. Well, of course he was there. His father could see him. He wasn't calling to his father's attention the fact that he was standing there. He was saying, I'm standing under. His attitude was, whatever you say. Because in the back of his mind, he was probably thinking, there's 10 of them. Why do they need me? They're all in their 20s and 30s. I'm 17. They're 2 or 3 days away from here in the wilderness. I could get lost. Why am I going off alone like this? He could have thought of a lot of excuses, could have thought of a lot of things. But he went. He went. He did what his father asked him to do. Here am I. Here am I. I agree, is what it's saying. I willingly place myself under your authority, is what it's saying. It's a picture of biblical submission, allowing yourself to come under someone. Now remember the rest of the story. 20 years later, or over 20 years probably, but at least 20 years later, he sees his father again. Do you realize that submitting to his father there led to a 20-year separation from his father? You know, he never reminded his father of that episode. His only comment on the whole thing was, God meant it for good. God meant it for good. And his attitude about the whole thing was, God was in control, and he looked past the situation to God. So, I would just ask you, can you say today, before God, that you are a here am I person? Here am I. And the reason I say this is, in those intervening 20 years of Joseph's life, look what happened to Joseph. Because of his attitude, here am I. Here am I. God used him mightily so that the Bible teaches that all the world had to come to Joseph for bread. God used him to save many. But who did God use? A young man, not like his brothers, who were surly and dishonoring, but rather the one that was under authority and that said, here am I, here am I. That was his attitude. And look who God used. Remember what the Bible says, honor thy parents and it will go well with thee. God is making promises in His Word, and He keeps His promise. Now, as a father, I would have to say to you, well, really tell you something that you already know. Parents do not deserve this kind of attitude I'm talking about of honor. I mean, it's hard for me to understand why someone would honor me. I know who I am. I know what I am. I'm just a man. I make mistakes. I do things wrong. I say things wrong. I don't always have all the answers. I could argue with that scripture from a human heart. But see, this isn't a human heart. This is the Word of God. And so I can say, based on the Word of God, not my heart, honor your parents. Honor those godly authorities in your life. You are to relate to them in this way. Not because Brother Rick says so, but because the Word of God says this is right. This is a right truth. And it does not seem there's an escape clause in here given to anybody because of a difficult situation. Consider the life of another young man in the Scriptures. We won't turn to the Scriptures there to read his story, but just briefly, think of Jonathan, the friend of David Jonathan, the son of Saul Jonathan, who was a very noble young man. Seems like the Bible hardly speaks any negative reproach against his whole life. Joseph also is that way, by the way. It's hard to find anything in the Scriptures at all that speak in a negative way about Joseph. And Jonathan's the same way. What kind of father did Jonathan have? Saul was an angry man, given to dark, foul moods, great swings, inconsistency. One of the worst things I tell parents when I'm teaching on parenting is, do not be inconsistent. Rather, be consistent. Saul breaks all those rules. Horribly, terribly. But what was Jonathan's attitude toward his father? He would go to him with honor, asking him for David's life, asking him to consider this. Even when his father did many, many foolish things, throwing a spear at his best friend, throwing a spear at him at one time. He even made a crazy pledge one day about he would kill the next man that ate. Well, that happened to be Jonathan, his son. But Jonathan, if you follow his life from the beginning to the end, as given in the Scripture, he honored his father. And the Bible speaks highly of Jonathan. He is a man of faith. Jonathan chose to honor his father. Will you choose God's way at this crossroads we looked at earlier? You know, to give honor is within the reach of all of us. It doesn't take ability to honor your parents. It takes faith in God and God's way of doing things. It lies in the faithful performance of the little times. And sometimes it's just little ways. I know each of you have different situations that God gives you to honor your parents. Give me the last overhead. Skip the next one. Go to the last one. While he's getting that up here, I just want to give you some final thoughts here. Maybe they may not all relate to where you are. Yeah, that's the one. Thank you. But just some thoughts. You know, you can gain much humility and, may I say, earned wisdom. You know, you can earn wisdom. Not all wisdom is just poured on you. Sometimes you have to sweat a little bit. You have to work for it. But you gain much humility and earned wisdom in honoring and obeying your parents. And I would just urge you to maybe just give you a few little ideas here. They're thrown up there on the screen. Ask parents' opinions before making decisions. Look them in the eye when they talk to you. Not a silly one. It's kind of a simple one. But do you behold the countenance of your parents? Now, there's a lot in just looking into somebody's face. It's not a little thing, because you're giving honor by paying attention to them. All these little outward things reveal things that are in our heart. When at all possible, check with them concerning your schedule. Many of you are busy, you work, but give honor to those that have authority. Be thankful. Express in words and actions. Your giving thanks shows honor. Keep your word carefully with your parents, even those of you that don't live at home anymore. Keep your word. It's so important. Some of you, you've had to move out for various reasons, as I've said earlier. Don't use that as an excuse to break other things. When asked to do something, do it. Fit in where you can. And even those of you that aren't home, you can do things like that as well. Well, in conclusion, got a few minutes left here. I want to talk about your hearts for just a few minutes. You can, if you can get that picture back up that we had at the very beginning, at the crossroads picture, we'll just leave that up as we finish up here. Thank you. I want to talk about hearts. You know, hearts are very interesting things, aren't they? Fascinating things. God knows hearts. I'm learning a little bit about hearts, but there's much I don't know. But the more I know, the more interested I am in hearts. One of the things about hearts that's interesting is they tend to go somewhere, don't they? They don't just stay in one place. Hearts tend to move to something, or they're drawn by something, or they're pulled by something. And where your heart is very important. You know, our verse in Malachi talked about the hearts of the parents and the hearts of the children. And so I would just ask you, where is your heart to your parents or your godly authority? Where is your heart? Has it moved away? Has it been pulled away? Have you done wrong and allowed your heart to get pulled into things it shouldn't get pulled into? Drawn into? And I ask you this question because it will affect your spiritual life. It's not just a principle, it's a spiritual reality. It will affect your spiritual life. Turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Verse 19. Here's Solomon writing this. And you know, Solomon ought to understand hearts. We say that Solomon asked for wisdom, but actually the first things out of his mouth to God was he asked for an understanding heart. Isn't that interesting? And so the man who asked God, and got it from God, by the way, for an understanding heart, so therefore he knows something about hearts, wrote this: "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way." Isn't that an interesting phrase? Guide thine heart in the way. That means your heart just doesn't have a mind of its own. It doesn't just go here and go there of its own volition. You can guide your heart. You can discipline your heart. In other words, you can be at crossroads. Your heart comes to crossroads And sometimes it needs guiding in the right way toward the right thing. And for today, in our crossroad of relationships, that is dealing with honor, submission, standing under godly authority in your home, in the church, yes, even in the workplace. We didn't have time to talk about all those things. But I'm just asking you, pleading with you, begging you to guide your heart. To get understanding, your heart has got to be in it. Your heart has got to be in it. Why do you think God wants your heart and your parents' heart or your godly authority's heart to be together or to be drawn to one another? I don't know all the reasons, but I know that God desires it because He sees that if this thing is true, if this works out that way, you will hear thou, my son, and be wise. There's things you need to hear. In other words, there's things you can only learn if you hear them from authority. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. There's things that those in authority over you need to speak into your life, and it's as if God is using them, and He does use them, to speak into your life. And sometimes that's one of the best ways that God speaks into your life, young people. Yes, you need to read your Bible. I'm not taking those things out. Please just let me do this without balancing every little thing I say. But look at the principle here. God does use this. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Hear. God knows you. He knows what it takes to make for you to make the most best and blessed spiritual decisions. You're going to be faced with many other crossroads, but if you don't have this one, may I say, in your corner, these other crossroads we're going to talk about later this week that are in your life will get harder and harder and harder. Oh, to be out over here, away from godly authority, and facing a crossroads. Very difficult. Very difficult. It's like, I wish I could just see this fog in the background. I wish I could blow it up on the screen. And suddenly that's what it's like. Now it's just foggy. It's like, well, it's there and I know I need to do it, but I don't have all the information. I don't have all the wisdom I need. I don't have all the experience I need. The sun is not shining like it should. Look to God for help and grace in all of this. You're at a crossroads, young people. Yes and no are the two most important words you will ever say. Upon them hang your destiny. You're at the crossroads today in this area. What will you say? What is God speaking to your heart today? Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.